Ventinos podcast. My name is Anthony Tormacchio. My co-hosts are Riccardo Santomaggio and Mark Fiorenti. Show number 61. That's right. We've changed the format of how we name our shows. Mm. And we've got you 2 weeks in a row, Riccardo. I'll start off with you. No controversy. Controversial.
Controversy. Prince sang that song. Controversy. Great song too.
Yes. And you know what?
Yep.
We're going to have a very negative show. I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to start off with something.
Yeah,
go for it. We were talking about Prince before the show.
Yeah, Prince, great.
Before we get into that as well, how are we? We good?
I'm good. I was just about to say how appropriate to hear Crazy Train.
Yeah.
Because we have Crazy Train because being an Juventus supporter, we go on a crazy ride.
Yeah, we do.
But the train has crossed the tracks in the last 7 days and gone into the Azzurri camp as well.
Yes.
Don't be bullshit. Don't be baffled by the positive result, 4-0 against Malta.
Yeah.
It's more about what happened off the field, which we'll obviously get into, but my God, I am worried.
You're worried. I think the Italian national team is going to be very worried.
I think Luciano Spalletti's lost all his hair.
Oh, my God. But do you think we've learnt? I'm speechless. And the club knew about Fagioli's gambling problem too, yeah? What is going on? Who the hell is running Juventus? Yeah. Sorry, 100-year anniversary. Man, I had shivers seeing Zidane, man. Get him a pair of boots, mate. He can play right now. Davies looks like he's drinking from the fountain of youth. Del Piero looks like he's got Tagliatella stuck in his gut, but he still can play. And Marchisio looks like he's...
Marchisio looks
good.
Whenever he's on the ball, I feel like sharp-dressed man should be playing.
That's a great song, mate. The Grange after the game, I don't know. But
does that answer your question, how are we feeling?
It does. It does. I didn't think it'd take that long, but it was well put. But yeah, going back to, again, on a positive note and something that a lot of people might not know because I didn't, you know Prince actually backed Warrens?
Yeah,
that came out
this week.
Prince was a big fan of Warrens.
Yeah, he was too.
Yes. He really liked Warrens.
I've seen the interview too. He
gave him a big push.
Yep.
Really?
He helped him out. You're right.
Yeah.
Gee, there you go. I was not aware of that at all.
Prince had a big influence on a lot of bands.
Yeah. But not just influence. He actually helped them.
He really liked what they did.
And it was some of their first songs, like Down Boys and that he liked a lot.
Uh-huh.
And he actually gave them a bit of a nudge, and that's why they got as popular as they did.
And I'll give you another little tip about Prince. You know the song Literate Corvette?
Yeah.
Do you know Stevie Nicks helped Prince write that song? Yeah, a bit of help in there. Yeah.
Okay.
I was a very huge Prince fan. Saw him a couple of times.
You were, I imagine, Anthony.
Prince? Oh, look, I love his guitar.
Oh, he was a freak of guitar.
You know, I like Warrant more than Prince.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's not...
Prince is one of
his guitaring. For me, his guitaring is what makes me like him the most.
I like his old stuff.
Voice and all
1999, when Purple Rain, all that. Probably up to the Sign of the Times. When he got into the 90s, Diamonds and Pearls, and that was it pretty much for me. Mm. But he had a big influence on, like, you know, the Bengals, Medic Monday, he wrote that. He wrote Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
He wrote so many songs.
Yeah, he wrote a lot.
But songs like that, Nothing Compares to You, like, you could tell someone like Prince would write that.
Yeah,
Like, you know, sometimes there's things where it's like, you know, Kiss.
Yeah.
Kiss had Forever, written by Michael Bolton. That's a Michael Bolton song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that, like, but now it makes sense.
If you listen to it and you're like, that's a Michael Bolton hit. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like Eddie Van Halen doing Beat It, the riff.
Yes.
And then David Lee Roth in his limousine hears it over the radio and pretty much loses his shit. So, you know, he did it for nothing because Quincy Jones was good friends with him and did it for free. So
he rearranged that song.
Yeah, and did you know that 1984 didn't go to number one
because of
what happened?
The irony.
the
huge irony.
So, So that's a week in rock, guys, on our podcast show.
We'll see you next week for show number 62.
I'd rather talk about rock music.
Can I just play this song? It sums up Juventus right now.
And the Azzurri.
It is something in the air. You know what? It's, we need to talk about it because I'm losing my shit. Because we can't win.
Mm.
It's just...
Oh.
We can almost win.
Unfortunately, it's done
field.
By our own players in this situation,
but,
which doesn't always happen.
Guys, they got a privilege to play for Juventus.
Yep.
Yep.
And all I'm going to say to the owners, as this song says, sabotage. Let's get into it, guys, because I am frigging pissed off.
So we're obviously talking about what's come out and what's what more is to come out.
Yeah.
Nicola Fagioli,
yep.
who has gone to the prosecutor himself and said, hand on heart, I have a gambling problem. I've had this gambling problem since I was a junior player.
Yeah, next-gen
I've been
team.
Betting on games, not Juventus games, not next-gen games. Hopefully that is correct, but apparently he has said that and not done that, i.e. betting on next-gen Juventus games. Hand on heart gone there and said, I've done this. So in terms of the punishment, they're saying that sort of behaviour is 3 years. It could be four if he was betting on Juventus games or next-gen games, but if he didn't, it's 3 years. But it could be slashed straight off the cuff by 50% by him going there and self-confessing. And there could be some plea bargains and the like thrown in by him pleading guilty and so on. But they're saying probably at least a year suspended. But it gets a lot worse because Gatti is probably seems to be involved.
The Sassuolo game.
Sassuolo game. Do you want
4-2? No.
Do you want to go, talk?
And can say about the fight what? Over fives.
Well, you told me about it, Ricardo.
Yeah,
so
well,
I'll just I'll go with it. But apparently they're saying, and look, these are all rumors. We have to say that this is not fact.
Yeah.
Because we don't actually know whether it's fact. Unless you've got it as a fact.
I'll pop up the report on this.
Let's just say it's a rumour for now, right? Apparently Gatti bet in the Sassuolo Juventus match where we lost 4-2 and he scored the last own goal and he bet that there would be over five goals, was it?
Yeah, the bet was over the five goal. In the
over five goals.
That's silly.
So
he
obviously made that happen to six with his...
Yeah.
Disgraceful yet calm own goal, which is now, you know, we're talking about songs that make sense when someone writes them and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is now starting to make sense because maybe Chesney, you know, Chesney could be involved in it because that was a terrible.
Do you know, guys?
Yeah.
Cross goal pass.
When I read a lot of the articles from the main source, Romeo Greci, I'm going to say his name, Romeo, I'll call him. When I read his article and he put the names down of the players that are being phone tapped and investigated, the Gatti one got me the most because, as you guys are talking about, watching that own goal, you go, that doesn't look too good.
Yeah. But to go back to one of the very first points you made at the start of the show, you said these guys should feel privileged that they're playing football, getting paid
handsomely. Getting paid good money. Yeah.
To do what they love.
That's right.
It really irks me, especially if this is correct. If Gatti's involved, because what was he doing only 5 or 6 years
construction
ago?
Construction worker.
Mate.
Construction worker.
Yeah,
what was he doing only 3 or 4 years ago playing Serie C?
Yeah.
And we all go on about what a beautiful story, what a lovely success story.
Yep.
And he himself would, if I were in his shoes, I'd be looking up to the stars every night saying, thank you, football gods.
Yep.
But also looking in the mirror saying, I love what you do.
Torricelli 2.0. Torricelli.
Yeah.
Farmer.
Look where you come from. So why go and sabotage
your
career?
You're making decent money, but sometimes it makes me think, I wonder if these players are put to it.
Ooh, now there's an interesting theory.
Is the old...
Mafia?
Is,
not just mafia.
Gamora?
Is the old construction foreman that's building the race course around the corner
and paper bags of money.
Has probably said, hey, you know, we've got pictures of you, what? Gutsy.
Yeah. Why can't
like, you know, it could be blackmail.
Can't we just get the equalizer? Can we get the equalizer involved? Maybe the equalizer will come and kick some butt.
That really does worry me because, I mean, let's not sometimes, beat around the bush. Yeah. There is a number of mafias in Italy. The Camorra's they go the worst. By different names because of the regions they're in. Yeah. And you can't help but think, have some of these players been told, you will bet on this game or else your knee.
Do you know the problem is? In Italy, there's a massive problem with gambling companies. There's so many, it's not funny. Mm. Just been coming back from there, it's everywhere. And it's multiple companies, not like 5 or 10. There's heaps of gambling companies. Mm. And it makes you wonder if, power of the money.
And then you think about it, like, imagine how much it would pay for Gutti to be scoring goals when it comes to betting.
Oh, well, man.
Especially at the start of his career.
Yeah, yeah. 30s and 40s.
They could be quite high, and he's a good goal scorer. But at the start, that's where it's high odds, isn't it? So there could be a lot of things that we don't know about. And, you know, yeah, it's...
And pressures.
Pressures and, yeah, a lot of things that can be involved.
And just in saying that, guys, the other clubs are involved. Lazio, Roma, Inter, Sassuolo... Bradi, Barella, Bastoni, Fatesi. There's some really even Ravella.
What's the common theme there?
The youth and the setup for these Azzurri team. And
so go back to the point Italian I was making earlier. Yeah. Italian players, really good young Azzurri in there.
Yep.
If God forbid, even if Tonali's involved as well, he now plays at Newcastle. Zaniolo.
Yep.
These are all good. Current and or knocking down the door of Azzurri selection players.
Mm.
What does this spell for Euro 2024, World Cup 2026 and beyond?
Knockout.
Mm. Will we even qualify?
We probably won't even qualify.
And if we do, are we going to embarrass ourselves?
Well, I was going to say that. Absolutely. I think, but you know what the thing is when it comes to embarrassing yourself. The thing is, if you don't have half your team, it's not going to be. It's going to be an embarrassment before the tournament.
Yeah,
it's going to be an embarrassment.
Expectations will drop.
People are just going to turn around and say these players are disgraceful because they've done, regardless of whether they've been blackmailed or not. The whole thing is people can't turn around and go, oh, that coach, like we've had in the past.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Ventura or whatever his name was.
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura. In my head, I'm thinking Bonaventura, but it's not him.
The guy marries a nice lady, looks like a kid.
You can't blame the coach for putting, like, making the wrong decisions or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You can't blame the players for being crap on the field. All you're going to do is say that what... an absolute disgraceful bunch of players.
Yep.
Not one or two, but the majority have literally taken the core out.
Yes.
And, you know, and maybe given the opportunity to young players to be in it, but you're sacrificing players. But on the flip side, what can we take out? We can always take a positive out of it. Some of the young players are going to...
If I can start on the negative, the biggest disappointment for me with this is you named all those Azzurri players. Why isn't bloody Immobile in there?
Maybe he's the mob man.
No, man.
He's the man. It's him and Insigne, man. Oh. That are behind this. Insigne's got a...
They do it in one tournament.
Multinational construction company.
I'll tell you which player will be clean as, and he'll now be recalled to the Azzurri.
Don't say it.
Ridge Bernadeschi.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Bernadeschi.
Maybe Bernadeschi and the Canadian Mafia are behind this.
Do you know what?
To sabotage.
And he might come back.
Oh, God.
Guys, who's had a bit of an ordinary start to the Juventus season?
Rabiot.
Maybe Rabiot's mum's in on it.
Oh.
Angelique Monica. Constructions.
Veronica. Veronica's Constructions.
Like, my son needs... You know, because now, you know what?
The horse, the gelding.
Our midfield is under extreme pressure.
Oh, God.
Because Because we've also forgotten about Pogba. Is Pogba behind it? Has Pogba?
No. It's the family with the black magic.
It's Pogba's brother in the black magic.
Yeah, it's the chicken feet with the blood.
He put a curse on it.
Yeah, I reckon you're right, man. I reckon you might have
Pogba's brother is in on it with Angelique.
Yeah.
And they're
chicken feet. They couldn't get enough chicken feet.
They're extorting money while making money with gambling as well.
Max is in bed with Varick, mate. I reckon something got on there, mate.
It's a Max Pogba and Angelique threesome. And then I'm telling you,
stop horsing around.
You know what? Let's.
We've just promoted the Melbourne Spring Racing Carnival.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's it, Maccabi.
While we're talking about racing,
yep.
Hopefully Fagioli and Gutti. Hopefully they were just betting on the greyhounds at Broadmeadows.
Oh, Sandham Park. hopefully, more for Bill.
Hopefully something irrelevant to soccer. And they get off.
Oh, God.
We just had our 100-year celebration game. How do you know what? Zidane, Zizou, and Davids. The Davids in that, they could play right now. Marquisio as well, man. Yeah. It looks so good.
What's someone like Wintley thinking? He came on board only about 3 months ago. Know. He's thinking, God, in the 3 months I've joined, Pogba's tested negative. Fagioli has just self-confessed to gambling. These rumours about Gutti are coming out. Bonucci as well. He's probably thinking, I can't catch a break at this club.
But at the same time, you need to remember whether he's in a controversial club or not, he's getting paid the same money. And he's probably, how you got to look at it is, unfortunately, in a lot of organisations, there's a lot of corruption, and people will just, they'll still be involved in the Italian Football Federation, FIGC,
they've got some blood on their hands too, yeah? That whole organisation is corrupt is to the hell. Come on, guys, honest truth. They are corrupt as hell, and they this is how stupid they are. They want to take down Juventus all the time, yeah?
Mm.
But they won't touch other clubs.
Tell our listeners what you told us to that point about always wanting to bring down Juventus. Well, can you share with our listeners what you shared with us
the last 12 months? Yeah. In the last 12 months, their subscription has dropped by 3 million. Now, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So with the scandal that's going to happen, well, it's in the process at the moment, don't tell me that ain't going to bring down the whole fucking, sorry, swear, but a lot of the whole...
You can't even hand the fees you.
Well, sorry, that's pure frustration, but the thing is, that's going to bring down the whole Serie A. Yeah. There'll be nothing left.
Yeah, but why kill the hand that feeds you?
100%.
Juventus propped up this league
when
it was on its knees with the Ronaldo signing.
100%.
We've got the widest, biggest following in all of Italy. Something like 40% of Italian soccer supporters support Juventus. So why...
Just go to Sicily, man. I can't believe any clubs are in Sicily.
All right,
ridiculous.
If we've done something wrong, but recent history, go back as far only as 2006, suggests that whilst we might have some blood on our hands, others have as much, if not more, and got away with it.
That's right. No, and it's 100% right. So basically with that on top of everything else, it's ridiculous. I just can't understand our club. I'm dumbfounded. The Pazura, whatever, the money, all this scandal. Man, we can't catch a break. Can't.
A lot of things might start making sense now. FIGC might not be what it actually stands for. Could be fraud, Italian gambling construction.
What about Fagioli, Inculo?
Fraud's a good one because
Gatti.
It would explain a lot of
it. Chiro Immobile.
Lazio's got, what, 3 players? Was it?
Yeah, well, they got 5. They got Luis Alberto.
Yeah.
Rovella.
Pellegrini. Is it Pellegrini? Pellegrini. They got Pellegrini. Pellegrini. As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
See the trend there?
Pellegrini from us, Luca.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Rovella
there
from
you go.
So
they're going to say, "Oh, it's a Juventus. It's a Juventus. It's a issue within Juventus.
It could be
they breed gamblers. They'll even probably say Rovella. Whilst he was with us for one summer, he developed a gambling problem.
Nah, maybe it could have been Sadi could have had something to do with it, do you reckon? Maybe he put the
poison.
No, that would
be cigarette smoking addiction.
He's in the
and not having a shower addiction.
Yeah. Sadi's in the illegal tobacco trade, mate. That's a whole different ballgame.
I don't know what to say.
And 19 coffees a day addiction.
Sponsored by Love Utzer.
It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
That's why you got the gig at Juventus, mate, because Love Utzer's shares went up.
Hey, guys, I just got told there's a new song hitting Juventus at the moment. It's
Train bound for nowhere.
There you go, mate. You got it. Oh, and it old. Come on, man.
Great song,
mate.
Rest in peace, Kenny. Hopefully not Juventus.
Come on. Out of reading people's face. Get the gambling man. Come on. That's a new theme song.
Oh,
man, you need to have a bit of a laugh.
You got to have a laugh.
It's just too much.
To go back to sort of, God, I'm so pessimistic, but let's remain on the pessimistic trail. Anthony, I think you said it, you know, we've lost Pogba. We're now going to lose Fagioli. We loaned out Rovella. We start with three midfielders. Each and every game, we've currently got three, maybe four midfielders.
Yeah.
Rabiot, Locatelli, Miretti, and McKennie, but he's started more games as a wing-back than he has a midfielder this season.
But then you're going to have to just throw in, you know, Ware and Kostic and Illing Jr. because they can just be
places
wingers in the midfield formation. So
this is what I want to segue to. We almost always, Max always starts with three central midfielders. Locatelli at the base, Rabiot to the left, Fagioli to the right. He will now probably go with Fagioli, Locatelli at
Maritzi
the base,
well.
Rabiot to the left, and Miretti or McKennie at the right.
Yeah.
Neither of which are really, really consistent or convincing.
Well, they're going to have to be.
Or do you just say, no, I'm changing formation now. I'm going to
go 4-4-2. I've said it the whole
time. He should, but he won't do it.
That should be done regardless of losing two midfielders. But now, for me,
it works.
It would be a must now.
Yeah, and the irony is,
especially if there's injuries.
Locatelli's best football. He's played some very good games for Juventus, but, I mean, we bought him off his performances at Sassuolo, where he played in midfield two.
That's right.
Yeah. Box-to-box midfielder. Rabiot as well played a lot of that.
Yeah.
In a midfield two. His best football at PSG in a midfield two.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got an abundance of wingers. Kostic, Cambiasso.
And them being decent.
Quick
guys as well,
yeah,
which will make it even easier for Rabiot and Locatelli to do their thing.
Do we just go a 4-4-2?
Yeah. Mate, he's Rabiot, mate. He's the horse. He's box to box, mate.
It's the gelding.
Yeah. Rabiot would like it too.
It's the Maccabi Diva.
He'd be in the limelight. And it mean that Illing Jr. should start to get more minutes.
I could have sworn I heard he's going to be sold.
He probably
in January. They're going to swap him or sell him.
What are you going? Who do you go in central defence? Do you shift Danilo from right back if you're going to start a back four
when he's not injured?
When he's not injured.
Oh God, I forgot about that. Yeah,
the
hits just keep on coming. He's injured, isn't he?
I think it's true. In the back now, depending on what happens with Gatti. Let's just exclude Gatti. If all this
Rugani will have to play in the back.
It'll be Rugani and Bremer.
Yeah.
In the back at
Sandro,
the moment.
If he comes back from injury.
Sandro or Cambiasso on the left.
And Desilio, if he makes a miraculous comeback, it plays one game in 10.
And then that's all you got. Man. So you either play your three with Bremer in the middle, and then you're going to have to play Cambiasso or Sandro.
Left. Yeah, I reckon.
And you're going to have to play Rugani as a right back.
Yep. How long Who else is can you Danilo play? Out for, do we know?
4 to 5 weeks.
That probably means 7 or 8, given the curse of Juventus.
I think they said 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Rugani at right back, honestly.
He could play that.
He could play
he could probably
play
could. You just give him a very defensive shift because you know that the guy in front of him is someone like Weah.
That's it.
Who's fast, exactly. Who can cover a lot of ground.
We're going to find out a lot this weekend in the round. Yeah, we're going to find out a lot. They need to win this.
Lucky we're playing a minnow.
It's a four-point gap, mate. It could be 7 points. So.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, probably one of the worst games we could possibly play
away
at
from
this
home.
Time.
Yeah.
Guys,
after an international break.
Yeah. I've got a song here. Let's see if... I'm confident you guys will know the band, at least.
Do you want to put it through?
No, I'm gonna go...
Okay, go.
I'm going to go an unorthodox
go for
way.
It.
But go this on. This kind of suits... We've got trains,
yep.
And it also suits Juventus. You'll probably know why.
Okay.
She took the last train, as in the old lady.
Yeah. Great song.
Who's the artist? It sounds so familiar.
Cinderella?
Cinderella!
Heartbreak Station.
Yeah! Glam rock.
I love that song.
That's such a good song.
I absolutely
I've been in it for years.
So I now remember it, yes.
Very good song.
Oh.
But unfortunately, I think about it more than I need to be thinking about it.
That's a great song, mate.
When I hear that, she took the last train out of my heart. That's literally Juventus.
Oh, mate.
Week in, week out for several years, but... But right now,
I think you just got the ADP award.
He just did too. He just scored.
I got it. The
he
ADP.
You got the ADP.
I've been.
But you know what? That's a great song. I've got a couple there.
Excellent. Bottom. Excellent. A lot of people like it, but yeah, obviously not. You know, a lot of people talk about their other ballads because they're that good. Don't know what you got till it's gone. And
yeah, they came out with a couple of great ones. I got
Long Cold Winter, they were exceptional at ballads.
Very underrated as a band, I reckon.
Yeah, but also acknowledged well.
They were also competing with some...
Oh, man, how many great Wasp in the time as well?
I think for me, with Cinderella, the reason why they are so popular is the fact that they are different. They're bluesy. They weren't that type of band stuck out because of the way they played. It was they, even though they were in that,
there was so many good bands,
that glamour/hard rock
thing.
Yeah.
The thing was, there was no other band that were like them. They might have been similar, but there was not that voice.
You're right, actually.
It was just
they were more bluesy than melodic. Much more,
And that continued too. They didn't muck around with their formula,
mate. I'll give you
their four albums that they
I'll,
did.
I'll give you a band, mate. This band here, mate. Come on, woohoo! Hey guys, let's talk about. You want to say any more about the scandal?
No.
Ants, anything you want to say,
mate? I'm scandaled out.
Scandalous.
You know what? I along with the lady are on that train. You know, and at the moment, you guys are probably going to be running after that train.
I'll tell you about it.
I'm not quite out yet, but I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you about a lady that I met in Italy. Oh, my God.
I'm riding first class.
My tongue's still stuck over there in Puglia. But anyway, guys, let's talk about Juventus. This upcoming week, we're playing AC Milan. And it's round 9 of the Serie A season.
Yes.
How important is this game? Because we're sitting in third. They're in front of us by 4 points.
And in first.
And in first. So.
This is a...
What do we do? What do we say? Because there is a bit of an injury concerns over Vlahovic and Chiesa. So that will leave the milkman and Keane, I think, to start.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Not the best of things. Well, Yildiz probably... I think Yildiz should be given a crack.
Oh, now, how's that? Can I quickly go across to Turkey?
Yep, go.
So if you're Vincenzo Montella, coach of Turkey, and you're 1-0 up against Croatia, who are no mugs.
No, they're not.
They made the semi-finals of the World Cup. last year, finalists 4 years ago,
yep.
finalists only 4 months ago in that, what's
the
that?
The National League's Cup.
Nations
yep.
League.
Yep.
At home, when you're beating them away from home,
yep.
who do you throw on in the 85th minute when you need to lock the game up?
You put Yildiz on.
Yeah, you put Yildiz on. I hope Max Allegri was watching this game. Because Max Allegri, I said it last week,
yeah.
pissed in his pocket after he put him on for 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Said, oh, Yildiz has got great technique. Whenever he touches the ball, I yeah. get an orgasm. He didn't say that, but words to
no,
that
he does. He's full of it. That's what he is.
And then Max says that, and Vincenzo Montella just shut him up by saying, now, this is how I'm going to show you how to use this 18-year-old yeah. kid.
Yep.
1-0 up away from home against Croatia, putting on Yildiz. And pretty, you see pretty the run Yildiz did he's shortly after he came on?
Mm.
And Croatian, Guardiol, yeah. who went to Man City, 90 yep. million, he's no mug of a defender.
No, he's not.
I was very impressed with that. But yeah. Yildiz will not start or probably even see more than 10, 15 minutes.
Do you think he'll be like the new Bentancur of Juventus when, you know, Max's first stint, you put him on the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game?
Mm. I'm actually worried.
We had a guessing game at one stage.
I'm actually worried this might go the way of Moise Keane, because Moise Keane, 4 or 5 years ago, was red hot and barely saw any game time, lost his confidence,
yeah.
and now look who he is. I hope I'm wrong, but Yildiz has got to get more minutes, especially at a time like this when we are at sixes and sevens and have a number of key players, injuries to key players.
The one good thing about with Yildiz is the fact that he's so young and he could, you know, 1 or 2 years with Allegri, let's just say, it might be okay. I'd be really worried if Yildiz was in Chiesa's position, like we worry about Chiesa, because I honestly think Yildiz...
He's pretty talented.
I wouldn't even put him in the same pretty sentence talented. As Bentancur. I rate Yildiz as
higher.
A player that I think if put on the market, he'll yep. go to a huge team.
Yes.
Like he wouldn't just go, oh yeah, we're going to move you to, you know, Manchester yeah. United.
Barcelona.
He'd go to an even bigger, yeah, Barcelona, bare minimum for me. He'd go to something like a Real Madrid, even if he doesn't get played. He'd get put on a bench.
There's a rumor. There's a rumor, guys. Vlahovic in January on loan with an option to buy.
Yeah,
from Real Madrid.
And
then I heard today that they're thinking of extending his contract. There's so much bullshit in saying.
No, but that's just media in general.
No, but there's a lot of clickbait, mate, and a lot of this is just. Bullshit.
Yeah, but that's to me how I look at the whole loan thing with an option to buy. Well,
testing what, before you buy it,
but yeah, no, that's dumb. We should be, if you're gonna do anything like that,
come up with money.
We should be doing what Real Madrid's done to players for years. There's no buy option.
Yeah,
there's no buy option. There's a money, you go on the loan like they did with Thingo from Morata,
yeah.
like they've done with. Brahim Diaz from Milan. They don't actually lose the player. Real Madrid go, hey, let's see how the player goes. If he doesn't do well, oh, you want to buy him?
There you go.
If he does well, no, he comes back. Why can't we implement that? That's what we should be implementing.
No, we actually give, what is it, a pension check?
No, we
on
give,
top of a,
we give a...
Is it Ramsey on a pension check?
No. You know what?
Oh, my God.
We're paying Ramsey.
Oh, you know
Juventus
what?
Loan a player out. We pay most of the wage.
Okay.
And then we sell them for bananas.
And I'm going to tell you something. This is a full-on truth. Today I read that somebody might be coming back to our club in January because of the situation. And his name is?
Federico Ridge Bernardeschi.
No, the other guy.
Oh,
who's
no.
playing minutes. At the moment for Fiorentina?
Artur?
Yeah.
He'll get
injured. I'm not joking. I read something. I go, no. No, man. No. Diego 2.0, mate. No, yeah. I don't see. If that happens, man, oh, my God.
Well, we have two fit midfielders
It's not a stupid thing.
They might have to deal with.
We might have to with do that.
Guys. Yeah, they might have to.
But can we bring Artur back? Because I thought once he goes, he goes.
But he hasn't been
Because if Artur can go back, you know who I want back?
Sule.
Sule.
100%. He's killing it.
He's like leading assists.
Yeah.
In not only Italy but Europe, not the biggest assist maker, but he's in the top five.
He's one on ones and also like, you know, with another player laying off and running is phenomenal.
I watched him play in the last game. His first half alone was better attempts than Juventus has done since the Lazio game.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, good.
That first half, but the whole game, like I was like, man, this guy, like, I know we can say it all the time, if or could or whatever. Mate, the guy hit the post like twice.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
He could
on the outside of the footy,
you know, if the ball was on, I know, like I said, it's easy to say. The chances he had were all close chances. Some of them made out of nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
He looked like Dybala. Dybala when he first came to Juventus.
Yeah. There's some serious problems at with the Juventus management.
I reckon serious. You're right. I agree with you. There's something not right.
With Allegri. I think there's people that are overlooking watching the game. This is Anthony's advice. I think. This will be Anthony's. I think it'll be Anthony's
Give
advice.
Give me 30 seconds.
Not right now, because we're like time sensitive.
Sorry,
this week, we're going to go. We're going it.
Just work us up. Work us up.
Much going on at the moment. We have to go back to the gambling. I'm sorry. Anthony's advice is not sponsored by TAB, not sponsored or sports bet. We do not encourage and endorse gambling. That's the first thing.
Who said in gambling? We won't have to talk about gambling now, do we?
Not at all.
Only Juventus.
But if I could bet on something, no. I'm going to...
Might as well hit it because we're at the 37 minute. Hit it.
I'm going to leave the other one because the other one...
Advice of the week.
I'm not going to get too excited about this, we're talking about. We were talking. This is not going to be a surprise to you guys because I was talking about it before, but before the podcast.
It was a fly. You're looking at me saying, "What is
the boy? Get away.
Even the fly wants to pay close attention to this Anthony's advice.
Okay.
Like Louis the Fly.
Louis the Fly.
Now, I'm going to start getting pretty personal into this one. And I love Nicky Beans. I'm a big fan of Nicky Beans and Freddie Katz, right? We've pumped their tyres a lot.
We have.
They've been good to great players because Fagioli's still, I think he's got a lot to work on, but Gatti will, I think if this all goes bad, I think Gatti will be the bigger loss, in my opinion. Because of the way he's transitioned into our club and becoming a leader and not just defensively, but offensively has been amazing. But how, after all of the shit that Juventus has gone through since the initial scandal in the mid-2000s that got us into... the first part of crap.
And a big, deep hole.
A person like Fagioli... I'm gonna put it on Fagioli, all right? The reason why I'm putting it on Fagioli is because the background of Gatti that we know so far is construction, right? We don't really know how much of a Juventus fan he was. But Nicola Fagioli was a Juventus fan before he was a Juventus player.
And he joined at 16, very young.
Youth player... He's obviously wanted to be a player for so long. At the end of the day, we don't condone gambling, but obviously if you're going to do it or partake in it, a player would probably have to go to a third party, whether that be a family, friend, whatever. But after all the shit Juventus has gone through, after the current shit that we're going through, what in your right mind in the last year or two as a human being, not a soccer player, a human being, turn around and think that you're going to gamble and put the club that you love into deeper shit. My advice to people in general, whether it's soccer, whether it's gambling, whether it's whatever it might be, just think of what your actions can end up leading to.
Yep.
Whether that's having an affair, whether that's doing something wrong, whether it's lying, or whether it's doing something behind someone's back.
Oh.
Just don't do it.
So
it's the opposite to not. It's just don't do it. That's my advice to anyone in general.
Nice slogan. Wow. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Not just do it. Just don't do it. Could that be the next...
Does that even make sense? Should just be don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have to say, that's a fair voice of the week.
It's a very good
one. Maybe we should send that.
And also, on an off-note thing, this one goes out to Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
The actor Rob Schneider.
Yes.
I know that he listens to the podcast, so I'm going to throw it out to him. Rob, you got to start saying, you can't do it. There's no more you can do it. You can't do it.
You can't do it, all right?
Anyway, yeah. It's crazy to think that.
And we'll go straight to Mark's. Mark's question without notice. Bada boom. Crank it. Oh, bit of the old skip row.
I'm sorry, but I don't back down on an advice to make it easier for you. I was not thinking, I thought
we'd talk about Italy first. Here's my question without notice. What else can I get on Juventus beating Milan by 3 goals or more? No, I didn't say that.
Oh, deal. Don't.
We're not going to have an official bookkeeper here at our headquarters.
If we don't laugh, we're going to cry or I don't know. So, Mark, question without notice, mate. Tell us, what is it?
Well,
We
saw the Azzurri play yesterday morning, our time.
Yep.
They're playing against England, so they, of course, beat Malta 4-0.
Yep.
No huge surprise there. The big test, though, is going to be against England in about just over 30-odd hours' time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that shortly. But given we're talking about and in an Azzurri week, here's my question to you boys. Your favourite Azzurri game and why? And I want to stress favourite, because you could say, when we beat France in the 2006 World Cup because we hoisted the World Cup. Sure, that was a great result for what we got, but maybe try and think a little bit out of the square.
Oh, I've got one. I've got one.
Favorite game.
Yeah, I've got one as a kid. I don't know, Ant, you want to go first or?
Yeah, mine's probably not going to be as epic, but I do need to think about this a little bit more. What strikes out the most? That is probably one of my favorite, because for me.
Mm.
In 94, yep. I'm going to go back to 1994 because that's when I started watching the Azzurri.
Yep.
So we go back to 94. I didn't really watch the games. I was in year two. I was eight years old.
Seven, eight years old.
So I wasn't watching the games. I can't say a favourite of my game is one I don't watch live. So I can't go back to there. For me, I started watching the Italy games properly in Euro... In the 96 Euros.
That was a good team not to go
Germany,
away.
If I'm not wrong. Is it Germany?
We should have bet Germany. Yeah. We drew 1-1.
No, missed the penalty. Germany was the host.
Germany won it
on home soil.
Yeah.
Yeah, against the Czechs.
So that's when I started watching.
Germany.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was 10 years old then. That's when I started watching, soccer and stuff like that. But again, that doesn't... they're not my favourite games. I loved France 98. I thought France 98
that's
was
a
great.
Team that could have won.
They could have. I think if we won that France game, I could probably tell you that would have been my favourite. But again, a lot of missed opportunities, so I won't be.
Italy.
I'm going through the vault here. Italy versus France, Euro 2000.
Oh. Oh, right. We should have won that game, man. Del Vecchio.
Up until the 92nd minute or thereabouts.
I'm highlighting some games here because I'm still trying to make my decision. We play in the semi-finals against Holland.
Yeah.
And got pounded.
Oh. I think we're 9 men and we still won the game of penalties, I think.
But that Toto? But that game there, amazing goalkeeping.
Oh, Toto. Amazing. Toto was amazing.
Amazing goalkeeper.
Can you not talk about that game, actually?
I absolutely
love
it.
For you.
That was one of my favourite. We did get through, but again, I wasn't pleased with that game because of
it was got smashed
super defensive. Yeah.
There were reasons behind that, but let's not talk. You not talk about it. There's another clue there.
I won't watch that. I'm sorry, this is going to go for a while, guys. Euro 2000, Italy versus France in the final. Could have been my favourite, but the end result was very sour.
Sylvain Viltord scored, and then Trezeguet got the silver goal.
Well, that extra time in the night, mate, that should have been blown long before.
Oh, Piero of all players missed a couple of sitters.
Yeah, absolutely.
1-0 up.
Yep.
I absolutely love the penalty shootout. For me, the penalty shootout in the Italian game
against
France.
That was
2006 World Cup.
That was a really good penalty shootout for both teams.
If we had have won that game, I would have been happy. But the fact that we were crucified in penalty shootouts and always, because of Baggio in 94, that revenge for us getting it back was great. Also beating France, the revenge. Yeah. And then the aftermath and all that. And the lead up, the Italy-Germany game was awesome.
Oh, that's one of the best games I've seen.
That is one of the best games. Guys,
all the time, mate.
I've been criticised many times in my life for being very different. But for me, my favourite match of all time was, I can't exactly remember, but I'm pretty sure it was a group stage match. Was it against Mexico?
94?
No,
2002.
Yes.
Yeah.
Euros. No, not Euros.
World Cup. World Cup.
2002 World Cup against Mexico, third game of the group stage.
Was it
Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, if I'm not wrong, it was that Miletti guy, whatever, scored an amazing
Bugatti,
cross.
Bugatti.
Whatever his name was. That cross goal against Buffon. No goalkeeper would ever have got it. He headers it.
Bugatti. Was it Bugatti or Bugatti? Or Bugatti?
I can't remember his name. Yeah. Yes, they scored first.
Yeah.
So, guys, do you remember the event that actually happened that week? And the player that wasn't playing in that game?
In what year was it? 2002.
Yeah.
Well, Baggio didn't go on that tour. He should have.
No, he should have.
He came back at world record time in the injury.
I'm not great with the times and all that. I could have the wrong tournament for all we know, and I'm not joking. But there was a game, and it was a group stage game, and it was one where a lot of people probably don't think of the significance, but we would never have got further in that tournament if it was for one man, the man that got me into soccer, Alessandro Del Piero.
He scored the winning goal against... Oh, he scored the equalising goal.
Now, what happened that week, guys? This is a... Have you been paying attention, Anthony Tomaccio?
His father passed away.
Pretty sure it was his mother.
Oh, okay.
I remember his parent... One of his parents, it was probably his mum.
His mother passed away, therefore he didn't actually start that game. I wish I knew the statistics, but you're putting me on the spot, stuff me up, but...
That's the whole idea of a question without notice, isn't it?
For me, I'll never forget the fact that when we were... Even though we didn't win that tournament, or the fucking shit tournament in the end, with Rigori and all that crap...
Yeah.
A true champion isn't always based on success of a victory. Sometimes a true champion must come out when you least expect... And you know what? Del Piero... You know what? If he went on and did bugger all in that game, I would not have cared because of the situation that he was in. We were in deep trouble. Without that draw, we would never have seen Italy progress. And for me, I think when other players get experience in tournaments, it's freaking crucial. And that would have helped 4 years later in the World Cup. We are down and out. We're pretty much eliminated. Alessandro Del Piero comes on with about 10 minutes of what we think is the time. Comes on and scores a goal. There's, for me, there's moments, not just because of his mum passing away, but the fact that a player can come on and save a nation in a tournament was probably one of the most important moments of my soccer watching career. The fact that he did that, that's a champion to me. He comes on with bugger all time.
There wasn't
saves
much
us.
Time. Yeah, there wasn't.
If we had have won that tournament, I would put it all on that moment there.
I've got something to roll with that.
So for me, the game wasn't great and whatever, and yeah, the World Cup final was sweeter to win and all that. But for me, I'm putting that down as my favourite game.
Me? Yeah.
Your turn.
1982, Italy versus Brazil.
Oh, what a game.
Brazil's team was phenomenal on paper.
Socrates, Zico.
Is it Revelino? I think it was too. Mate, that team, not to win that World Cup is like, wow, it's one of the biggest.
Probably one of the best teams not to win,
A World
Cup.
On paper. But for a bunch of apparently tourists, they were, you know, turned up to a World Cup, and to win that game and the way we played was phenomenal.
And it was a game that Paolo Rossi really came out of the woodwork, and I'm sorry to go back to gambling, but what was.
Well,
he's coming back from a 3-year suspension, and he was. I think it was Agnelli that said during the group stages, Rossi looked like un coniglio bagnato, like a wet rabbit.
Wet rabbit.
Was like, didn't really know where he was going, and then bang, against Brazil.
And he turned it on. And then as we know, they went on to win that World Cup. 90 World Cup. Italy, Czechoslovakia, Roberto Baggio's run from the halfway line. That put him on the map, pretty much.
Sure did.
As a young teenager, I heard of him, and I watched Fiorentina versus Napoli, and he scored a very similar goal to what Maradona did at the World Cup from the halfway, took on players, and it was against Napoli. And then after that game, I remember him shaking hands with Maradona. So I'll take that one, and then I have to say what really made me fall deeply in love with the Azzurri was the 1994 World Cup, Italy versus Nigeria, 89th minute, when Gary Blum goes, the dying flag in Italians are right back in it, and Baggio finally scored. After the group stages with Dino Baggio, the Norway, you know, we got... sent off. The Ireland game we lost, and we all thought we had the best player on the planet. Nothing's working.
Yeah, Zola got a red card.
And I remember he got on his knees like a little schoolboy, crossed his hands, was crying. But then when Baggio finally found that very narrow gap between the feet and the goalpost, it went in. And then... the story started,
and that
adventure that really was very sad to know that Baggio did have a hamstring injury and should never play that final. You know, the sponsors, like, there's a story behind that.
It was a bit like the 98 World Cup with Ronaldo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So pushed into the starting 11.
So for me, that made me fall in love on another level, and then, then I have to say pretty much that game against... Germany, 2006.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal game.
Yeah, that was great.
That's one of the best games I've ever seen, too.
That was a great German team, too.
Yeah, it was.
With Balak.
But then they got their revenge against in Brazil. But, mate, we that was a great... Pirlo, Grosso, man. It was like, what the hell?
Buffon's save off Podolski, I think it was.
Yeah. And then Del Piero's finish at the end. That to me just want me to punch the wall, punch everything. Yeah.
But he probably got that experience, as to go back to Anthony's point, from that moment. Because Del Piero came on as a, I think, a sub in extra time in that game.
He did too.
And to call out Gilardino, I think it was.
Yeah.
He passed him the ball to put the nail in the German
Cannavaro's run out of the defence and then, that's history.
Yeah, that 94, that game against Nigeria, that was, that was brilliant. Because Nigerians were actually,
they were pretty good.
They had us on the ropes.
That's it.
They had us. You know,
Mussie's through.
When you mention that, I can't help but always go back to, this is the beauty about watching soccer back then, because you heard everything, including the coach yelling at the players on the sidelines. You don't hear that.
Baresi telling Sucky,
Sucky, just before, about 20 seconds before Roberto Baggio scored, Sucky's losing it on the sidelines at Dino Baggio.
Dino Baggio.
They're not related. And he says, and Sucky is from, I don't know where, but certainly the north of Italy. And he says, and I'll pretty much quote verbatim, he says, "Dia Dino che vasu, Dio can."
Yeah, he did.
Tell Dino to push forward, dog.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. He did say that. He did say that. Mamma mia, I tell you what.
I got some good info as well. I've just gone back. Most of what I said was right, so I'm very happy with that. It was 2002. It was the group stage. It was against Mexico. Backs against the wall. Do we remember this too? So we play the first game, we win against Ecuador 2-0. Yes. But against Croatia, we lose 2-1.
Yes.
So what ends up happening in that group stage is Croatia got knocked out. They were on 3 points. Yes. I'm not sure, but if it went head-to-head, we would have lost.
Yep.
Because Croatia beat us 2-1.
Yep.
In that tragic night where the Croatian car drives through Ligon Street and got absolutely bombarded after the win.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was probably one of the last times Cafe Trevi would play upstairs.
Yeah.
Because that room all got trashed. So, yes. We're going to go back here. Del Piero, 80th minute, comes on, scores 85th minute to equalise that. Bang, because of that, 1-1. Mexico wins that group on 7 points. We had 4. Croatia has 3. And Ecuador had 3 as well. Guess who the assist was? We were talking about him earlier in the show.
Montella. Yeah, he was also a sub in that match.
There you go, the old Turkish kebab, doner kebab.
Montella.
Now showing Yildiz how to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there we go. Maybe we need Montella.
What's yours, Mark?
Huh?
Oh, Anthony...
nailed it.
Gave some good clues. For me, it had to be... It's actually Euro 2000... Italy versus Netherlands, semi-final.
Oh, that was epic on another level.
I'm not a massive fan of Catenaccio, but we had to play Catenaccio that day.
Was it two plays or one player?
From the first minute, we had to, because the Netherlands were, back then, an amazingly talented team.
They had a great team.
They beat Serbia, I think, in the quarterfinals 6-0, whereas we scraped through, we beat... I think it was Romania in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And that tournament was hosted in Holland and Belgium, co-hosts.
Yeah.
And from the first minute, they just had us on the back foot. Zenden especially.
Van Nistelrooy?
Yeah, they had Van Nistelrooy. Yeah. They had Zenden, the De Boers, Davids. Yeah. But Zenden was tormenting a young Gianluca Zambrotta on the flank.
I remember
Zambrotta got a yellow card very early on.
Yes.
And he was walking a tightrope. And then in about the 32nd minute, he fouled Zenden again.
Yeah, and got recovered.
And rightly, unfortunately, you got to call a spade, got sent off.
Yeah, I remember.
So we're already against the back foot.
34th minute.
Already on the back foot, 11 v 11, and then with 10 men. But then Grinta came out. We just played backs to the wall.
Yeah.
They had not one, but 2 penalties.
Yes.
De Boer missed the first. Clivert missed the second. And as that game wore on, you just had this funny feeling. Then when it got to penalties, you thought, we got the bit between our mouth, because they just can't find the back of the net from the penalty spot.
That's right.
We're going to win this penalty shootout. Toldo pulled off a number of saves. They only converted one penalty. The best penalty taker that day, Francesco Totti.
Yes, I do remember.
Nico Cuaio. Or what do they also call it? The Panenka.
Yeah.
And we got to the final.
That was arrogancy on another level.
That was arrogance, but it was...
I know, it was typically team football. That was team football.
It was just so beautiful to watch. A young Cannavaro and Nesta. Mm. And I think that... I know what happened 3 days later. We lost against the French. But that backs-to-the-wall performance and then losing probably shaped us up for 6 years later to win the World
Those
Cup.
Those two teams there... Italy and Netherlands. Oh, like nothing against France because France also had a similar team. But if you think of the players in those teams, we had Cannavaro, Nesta, Maldini.
Yes, Zambrotta.
Zambrotta,
unfortunately.
Del Piero. Vieri was playing.
No, Vieri did not go to that Euro.
Oh, he didn't play that one?
He was injured, so Inzaghi started most of the games.
So... You look at...
Stefano Fiore.
You look at...
Fiore was good, man.
You talk about the De Boers... Right, there was Van der Sar was in goals. He was still okay at that time. Yep. I think he got
Van Nistelrooy play,
but the big names as well, guys. Kluivert, Yap Stam.
Oh,
Dennis Bergkamp for me is one of the is in my top 10 players probably of all time.
Yeah, he was a freak,
a brilliant player,
great player.
What the fact that we kept that at bay as well is a credit to not only Toldo, who was. For me, was
the funny got thing the ADP. About, you know, the funny thing about that tournament, Buffon injured his hand.
Mm. Yes.
He was supposed to be our starting goalkeeper. Toldo got shipped in. Mm. I think he would have always gone, but he was thinking I'm going to be second choice.
He was fantastic.
And look what he did.
I was actually shocked. I thought Gianluca Pagliuca was going to be the keeper for that one.
Well, 94.
He was keeper at 94 and
Do you remember who was the backup? When we got the red card. Do you remember the red...
Luca Marchegiani.
Oh, Mark's good. And which club did he play for?
Lazio.
The fascists.
Yeah. And also that Mexican player that did score that unbelievable was Borghetti.
Borghetti. Borghetti. I remember. You know why I remember? Because of the car, the Italian car. Yeah. Always remember that. So.
There you go.
So, guys, so Italy has to win the game?
I think it's an important game. Yeah.
Would they qualify in second, but...
No, they don't have to beat England because there's still after that we have Ukraine and
Northern Macedonia.
Northern Macedonia,
not Macedonia, Northern Macedonia. Who's our Achilles heel? Yeah.
Yes, they are
because they've beaten us twice.
We're currently second
in 10 points,
level on points with Ukraine, but a game in hand. So,
do you know what? Italy really doesn't have nothing to lose playing over there, and. I don't know.
It's a tough.
I think they'll get a result.
It's a tough fixture for me. I'll be.
I think they can get a result.
Are you going something like a 1-1?
1-1 or 1-0?
I'd be happy with a draw.
I'd be very happy with a draw.
Because they weren't too convincing against Australia.
They weren't, but
Australia should have buried two of those goals.
The Aussies had some very good chances towards the end, but for inexperience or jitters. Yeah. It should have been 1-1, but were England, I don't know, were they trying? I don't know. Were they giving Aussies a bit too much respect?
You know. I don't know, man. Look,
not respect.
1-1, it'll go 1-1 or 1-0. And Raspadori to score for Italy.
Mm. He played
a
well.
I think it'd be a good result for us. I think the way both teams are and how everything's going with these scandals, I'll take a draw.
Hey, just remember.
A win would be...
It will be like if they win, it will be backs against the wall. No one expected it, and like I'm hearing in the camp, they're going there, you know, with a game plan. So let's see. Spalletti's game against Malta was good, but it's Malta.
Yeah. So
that's done. Wrap on that. Happy with that. Big weekend coming up in. The world of Juventus, Milan, great rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's a positive show next week.
Next week I'll be doing my segment on Italy. I'll do Cifolu and the rant's back. So rant has to have a week off because, man, I'm going to lose it next week.
I think we had enough.
Yeah.
Negativity?
Enough collective
rant. So basically, the rant's going to end up at Coles and Woolies this week with the Fagioli beans being thrown down the aisles. So that's my rant.
This show was just, the full thing was pretty much a three Juventinos rant.
Yeah, there's a rant. So, Anth, where can you catch us, mate?
the podcast. You can catch us at rant.com.au now. You can catch us at Anchor, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Apple,
Google.
And Google.
And our Facebook page, Three Juventinos.
Three Juventinos on Facebook.
Twitter. I still call it Twitter, but it's called X now. Instagram.
Jace. Instagram, JCD Melbourne.
And
on Facebook, so yeah.
So big couple of weeks coming up at the club, 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Is it 24 days?
25, Rabio today.
25, the
going? Rabio days to go.
Rabio days. So,
you know when they do the bingo?
Yes.
Number 9 looking fine, legs 11, all that.
25.
Today's Rabio days to go.
Rabio days to go. So we'll be doing a podcast from the party. We're going to be doing a Facebook Live and stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's just say we're going to be in Victoria. We're not going to disclose where we are because
we
might
can't
get
because
mobbed.
We'll probably get mobbed.
We might get mobbed.
And then the swimming pool will end up in, it would be like, what do you call it, old school.
Sportsbet might be taking bets on where we'll be located.
Sportsbet, no.
But look, we're going to This is going to be us. Screaming our lungs off. Big apologies in 25 days for the people that are close by to the party. We're just going to do a bit of a pre-apology.
There might be a surprise for all the members, which they don't know about. But yeah, we'll see how things go.
We're going
to
surprise for the listeners as well. We're going to do a podcast up there, which we've been, we've been teasing for quite a while, but it is going to happen. Might even do a Facebook Live.
No,
boys.
Yeah.
Maybe we do it earlier in the weekend.
Maybe we do it literally when we get there. We're doing it at the thick of things. We're going to do it on the main event.
It'll be good because we're going to show all the Juventus things that we're going to be having on display. It'll be fun.
We're going to do all that. Again, we're not going to disclose it because we'll get mobbed.
So you've been listening to the Three Juventinos.